Hare Krishna. This Sunday afternoon, I thought to discuss change, because change is something we often don't see, and if we do see it, generally, we don't do anything about it. I thought of discussing this with you today in light of Krishna speaking in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme. In text 4, Lord Krishna says, Adibhutam Chodobhava. Material nature, physical nature, is constantly changing. If you look around, obviously that's happening. Your body has changed. The world is changing. Sometimes the changes are orderly and sometimes disorderly. Generally, you'll see that the disorderly changes are caused because of human interference. You have heard so much talk about climate change, how human beings, for the first time in known history, have become a geophysical force capable of radically altering their environment. You might be interested to know that, according to latest polls and surveys, although so many more people today now understand, they say, something about climate change, there has been no significant increase in the people who are very worried about it in the past 20 years. Every time you pick up a newspaper or turn on the TV or go on the internet, there's talk about beware, climate change, we have to do something. People admit they are more informed these days about it than ever before. But the number of persons who say they are very worried about it has remained the same as in 1988, when no one was talking about it. So this should teach us something about the hypnotic nature of material existence. There's something about living with a material body and mind in a material atmosphere that lulls you to sleep. So much so that even if you are aware of changes happening, you don't care that much. Let's take a look at our bodily existence. It is a fact, everyone knows, that material bodies go through something known in Sanskrit as sadvikar, the 6 main stages: birth, growth, remaining in some middling stage for a while, producing byproducts, then diminishing, and finally vanishing through death. We know these things happen for a fact. Yet, are we that concerned about the change of the body? There's something about living in material nature that causes us to be very sleepy and passive about what's going on with our life. What happens is that we become very attached to the actions of our senses. What are my senses doing right now becomes the most significant concern. What are the thoughts going through my mind right now? What are my senses tasting right now? What are the various flavors of happiness and distress that are hitting me right now? These become the predominant concerns, so much so that even though major changes are happening in our body and all around us, those changes take a back seat. This phenomenon is commented upon by Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam, the graduate study to Bhagavad Gita. There, Shukadeva Goswami explains, Pashyan api napashyati. Even though we are sufficiently experienced, everyone wants to feel that they are experienced. You would feel very slighted if someone told you, you're inexperienced, you lack experience. You would feel quite minimized and insulted if you go to apply for a job and they tell you, sorry, don't have the experience. You feel quite set back. Or even in establishing relationships, if you're told that you're inexperienced, your ego is completely lanced. So we put such a high premium on being experienced. We want to be aware of as much as possible that's happening in this world. But what does Shukadeva Goswami say about this acquisition of experience? He says, Pashyan api napashyati. Although we are sufficiently experienced, still we do not see what's actually going on. In other words, experience is not enough. We must have knowledge. Simply by experiencing with the ordinary senses will not allow us to penetrate into the mystery of life. What is our purpose in existence? Why we are here and where we are going. Let's talk about bodily changes. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that because of the spell of material nature, Srila Prabhupada often uses the phrase in his books, a conditioned soul under the spell of material nature. Meaning, we're in some kind of hallucinatory state. We are dreaming. We're in a trance. When we're under the spell of material nature, Lord Krishna explains, we cannot understand our stay in a particular body. We don't understand the full ramifications of being in a material body that goes through changes. We just say, oh, that's what happens, you know. You're young, you get older, you know. Sometimes you get sick, and then at some point you die. These things happen. But the main thing is, while you're living and healthy, get as much enjoyment as you can. That is the point. The Lord Krishna explains, because we're so hung up on the present or current activities of our senses, we lose the ability to understand the significance of our stay in a particular body. We don't understand how we got this particular body, nor do we understand what will happen to us when we give up this particular body. All this becomes very hazy at best because we're under the spell of material nature, which causes us to forget. What is our mission in life? Krishna says, Vamudan nanu pashyanti, pashyanti gana chakshusha. Someone who is very foolish can't see the reality of having a material body and what it means. But someone who has eyes trained with knowledge can understand all this. The goal of Krishna consciousness begins with knowledge of why you are in material existence, why you have a particular body. But that's just the beginning. Then things go further in terms of understanding your spiritual identity. What is the original situation of your spiritual identity? What are the relationships that the pure spirit soul enters into? Because we are unaware of the significance of the changes of our body, naturally we're not going to pay so much attention to climate change, even when we're informed about it. just about a third of the American population, according to Gallup polls, say they are very worried about climate change. Even though everyone says they know about it, very few are dramatically concerned. This should not be any surprise to you, because everyone knows that their body will not be around for long. And we don't know when our term in this particular body will end. Yet there is something that impels us to simply make the best of every moment, be as happy as you can, and when the end comes, the end comes. What is it about material nature that lulls us to sleep in this way? I have a term for it, which I call mass consensual trance. That people on a social level, meaning a conglomerate of individuals in the form of a society, lull each other to sleep by their mutual interactions. It's like everyone has conspired amongst themselves to put one another asleep. You don't worry, I don't worry. Your mother didn't worry. My son doesn't worry. My neighborhood doesn't worry. My nation doesn't worry. The whole world doesn't worry. Isn't that the way it is? Everyone nods their head. Yeah. Mm. Instead, we focus on economic expansion. And, of course, expansion of our sensory happiness and our ability to fight off sensory distress. That is how progress is judged in terms of material acquisition and in terms of our material senses contacting pleasing sense objects. If that happens in life, and maybe we're a little bit charitable, going beyond just our own sensory happiness. Charity means to help others to have sensory happiness, especially those who are your friends or who are related to your body. So in this way, we fail to use the power of association, the power of relating with others as a means for waking up. Our social relations become a powerful means to put us all to sleep. What is it about existence in this world that does that? It is the way we live our life. We leave ourselves wide open to being put to sleep by the material energy. In other words, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that the material nature is energy that has the power to cover our intelligence. Living in material existence is not an innocent thing. We are living in an atmosphere that inspires forgetfulness. Therefore, antiseptic lifestyles are required so that we don't have bewildered intelligence, so that our advanced consciousness that the human form of life awards is not spoiled because our vision is covered by the illusions of material life. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks us to understand that we're very tiny, tiny sparks. Tiny, tiny parts of the Supreme. That's why we have a tendency to be overpowered by material nature. Even though we're parts of Krishna, even though we're qualitatively equal with Krishna, just like sparks of a fire are qualitatively equal with the whole fire, but because indeed, in terms of quantity, we're tiny sparks, we can be overpowered by the material energy, if we disconnect ourselves from Krishna, the supreme fire. Now we have to look at our lifestyle and see, how am I disconnected from Krishna? The human form of life gives you two options that are not available to lower species. By lower species, I mean species that don't have the advanced consciousness of human beings. Those two options are, number one, you can use the developed consciousness for understanding. What is your identity? What is your situation in this world? What is the actual goal of human life? Or number two, you can use your developed human consciousness for trying to dominate material nature. And that is what's happened. You see, decade after decade, a culmination of a mighty attempt for human beings to dominate material nature for their own gratification. Now, according to the best scientific information, that attempt for domination has caused havoc. It's just not, it's not working out. It hasn't worked out. Even though people know that, they say they're not so worried about it. Why would someone come to that conclusion? You see, living in material existence means you're overpowered by an hallucinatory spell. That I've got my main concerns, which are my own happiness and my own distress. I've got senses that are hungry. I've got a mind that wants pleasing sensations. This is my number one concern. I have to keep my eye on those issues. As far as the changes that are constantly going on in material nature, well, that's there in the background. It's not a central issue. In Bhagavad Gita, however, Lord Krishna presents that you should be directly concerned with these changes. Changes in material nature. Changes in your body. Changes in your mind. And you should think, must I always be buffeted in this ocean of endless changes, tossed here and there by the waves of constant change in material nature? Must I always be like that? Often you can feel how you try to establish some stability and security in this world. You try to do that in your relationships. You try to do that with your acquisitions. Just let me have a firm foundation. Let me have some kind of stability that I can depend on. And then the greatest tragedy, the greatest shock for us, is when that stability is upended. We crave this stability and security so much that if we just get it for a few moments or a few years, we feel very good about ourselves. So this is the power of material nature to make us sell ourselves short. Just get a few years of security, a few years of stability. That's more than most people get in this world. Be happy with that. You've done good. According to Bhagavad Gita, you shouldn't allow yourself to be bought off in this way. You want to get out of this tossing ocean of change. And you want to situate yourself beyond the reach of material changes. That means material changes in your own body and mind, material changes in nature itself. What is the perfection beyond the ocean of material changes, known in Sanskrit as Bhava Sindhu, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming? What is beyond this? Sometimes we speculate that beyond the ocean of constant material change must be some static spiritual situation in which there's no individuality, there's no personality. Everything just is and remains is. That is a very preliminary understanding of spiritual existence. On the one hand, you can say that in spiritual perfection, there is no change. Meaning, there is no material change. But in spiritual perfection, there is ever freshness, dynamic, spiritual development, even on the platform of perfection. We cannot understand Krishna's pastimes unless we can understand how in perfection there is change, but it's not material change. Generally, we think of change in terms of diminishment, deterioration. Everything in material existence is ruled by time. Time wears things out. Time takes the thrill away out of everything. So, could it be possible that there is change on the perfect spiritual platform? That is what Krishna and his activities are all about. Change that has nothing to do with time. Change that has nothing to do with deterioration. Change that simply deals with ever fresh exchanges of pure love. Krishna invites you to this kind of existence in Bhagavad Gita. He invites you to revive your pure eternal status as his part in pure relationship with him. And then the changes involved are simply perfect developments in exchanges of pleasure with Krishna. There's no question of anything becoming stale. There's no question of anything diminishing. Just a constant flow of ever fresh experiences in relation to Krishna. This is the spiritual dimension that the process of bhakti yoga bestows upon us. First, we can experience that even within the realm of matter. In other words, within the realm of constant material change, you can experience spiritual existence with its pure dynamic change, unruled by time, unruled by deterioration. This is how magnanimous Lord Krishna is, that he makes the perfection of the yoga system available even within material existence. Because after all, the material energy belongs to Krishna and the spiritual energy belongs to Krishna. So Krishna can do what he likes. He can make it so that even from within the material world, you can experience the perfection of the spiritual world. Because Krishna is Yogeshwara. He's the master of the yoga system. Everything has a master. Everything has a controller. Even the yoga system. Bhakti yoga is the pinnacle of the yoga ladder. Climbing that ladder takes you to relationships, identities, and exchanges, reciprocation, that have nothing to do with time. When we have fully revived our Krishna consciousness, we won't be victimized by material nature anymore. Material nature is so powerful in its illusory potency that even you may have experienced something again and again, and still you become bewildered. This is what Shukadeva Goswami meant when he said in the second canto of Bhagavatam, Pashyannapi na pashyati. Yes, you are sufficiently experienced. Actually, not only in this life, but from many, many births. You are certainly sufficiently experienced, but still you do not see. There's something very powerful going on that interferes with our ability to actually learn from situations in this material world. Often, you've heard people that they comment, life's a learning process. It's all about learning your lesson. Yes, maybe some of you have said that yourselves. But then you ask, well, what's the lesson we're supposed to learn? Well, I don't know. It's just all about learning. How can we know the lesson we're supposed to learn if we don't know who we are? We don't understand our spiritual identity. We don't understand the supreme spiritual reality that we're part of. How can we ever learn our lesson? So again, therefore, Sukadeva Goswami says, Pashyanna Pina Pashyati. Yes, you are sufficiently experienced, more than you know, but still you don't see. And Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that we cannot even understand when we're under the influence of the material nature. We can't even understand our stay in a particular body. Why did I get this body? And what will happen to me when this body drops? We can't understand that because we are bewildered by the illusory energy. Now, no one likes to feel that they are bewildered. You all like to feel that you're competent, that you're in tune with reality, that you're no one's fool, and that you can make your way through life with some expertise. Everyone likes to feel that way. Meanwhile, what's happening? Material nature is constantly embarrassing us. Constantly embarrassing us, even with changes that we can see with our eyes, but because we're lulled to sleep, we can't do anything about it. In terms of changes of this body and mind, changes of material nature. So as I said, more people than ever say that they are well informed about climate change and its danger. But the percentage of persons who say they're very concerned about it has remained the same since 1988 when no one was talking about it. So what is it about existence that causes such a phenomenon to happen? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya dratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Krishna explains quite clearly. He says this material energy belongs to him and it is bewildering. It is very difficult to see through unless you do things Krishna's way. Then you can see through the haze. You can see through the mirage. But try to do things your own way and you become completely bewildered. So yoga means more than physical exercise. Meditation means more than focusing your mind on a candle. Yoga means how to get out of material illusion and attach ourselves to the supreme reality, attach ourselves to Krishna. This is the most worthy pursuit we can do in life. Otherwise, as long as we are in illusion, how can we really help someone? How can we really care for someone? As Prahlad Maharaj says in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, we'll simply be the blind leading the blind. What productive result can come from such a situation? How are we to get real knowledge? How are we to get helpful experience? We must wake up from the sleep of material existence. Yoga must accomplish that result. Otherwise, we're cheating ourselves. And then once we wake up from material existence, then we must know what to do next. That means, how do we become attached to Krishna? How do we become attached to the supreme source of the spiritual nature? Of course, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that he's also the source of the material nature. But he doesn't want you to be attached to the material nature. He wants you to be attached to the spiritual nature. Because you are spiritual in your original identity. But due to interaction with matter, we've forgotten our original spiritual identity. We've forgotten our Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we misuse our human form of life. Instead of using the developed consciousness of the human form of life to make an ultimate solution to the problems to revive our perfect spiritual nature. Instead, we use our developed human consciousness to dominate material nature. So what do you think of the result of that attempt to dominate? But no one knows what to do now. Even if they know, they can't stop the changes that are upon us. Everyone hopes, well, someone will figure something out. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has already figured out everything. But that's very humbling for us. Who wants to deal with someone who knows it all? Isn't it better to kind of, speculate on our own and come up with our own conclusions? We may be wrong, but at least it's our attempt. We can take ownership of the speculative process. But simply to listen to Krishna authoritatively and comprehensively without blind faith or fanaticism, simply to listen to Krishna explain everything, that's just too humbling. That's not what life's about. Yes, indeed, Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is about listening to Krishna. Listening to Krishna explain everything, which Krishna can easily do because he's the source of everything. How do we verify that Krishna is the source of everything? That is the whole process of bhakti yoga. How to become spiritually experienced. To be spiritually experienced means to understand what is illusion, to understand what is reality, to understand what is change that's not material, and to understand what is material change. All these things become revealed to the practitioner of bhakti yoga. Krishna is explaining himself. If we use our developed human consciousness to take advantage of Krishna's explanations, we save ourselves so much trouble. Indeed, finally, please remember this point. The best experience comes by hearing. Hearing something is also experience. By hearing, you can learn about something and avoid putting yourself into an injurious situation. You don't have to actually enter into a situation physically in order to be experienced. The process of Krishna consciousness gives you experience by hearing. That is the most powerful form of experience. But we're so attached to being experienced by putting our other senses into situations. I want to experience with the eyes. I want to experience with the flesh. I want to experience with the nose. But if you just experience by hearing, then you can learn in a way that you avoid so many repercussions. So there is nothing inferior about learning by hearing. It is indeed learning by hearing that Krishna offers in bhakti yoga.